Well, this morning you've got an army of locusts. We're going to be reading from the prophet Joel, chapter 1. Not the easiest book in the Bible to find. Towards the end of the Old Testament, for those who are struggling. Rob? Hear this, you elders. Listen, all who live in the land. Has anything like this ever happened in your days or in the days of your ancestors? Tell it to your children, and let your children tell it to their children, and their children to the next generation. What the locust swarm has left, the great locusts have eaten. What the great locusts have left, the young locusts have eaten. What the young locusts have left, other locusts have eaten. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Wail, all you drinkers of wine. Wail because of the new wine. What has been snatched from your lips. A nation has invaded my land, a mighty army without number. It has the teeth of a lion, the fangs of a lioness. It has laid waste my vines and ruined my fig trees. It has stripped off their bark and thrown it away, leaving their branches white. Mourn like a virgin in sackcloth, grieving for the betrothed of her youth. Grain offerings and drink offerings are cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests are in mourning, those who minister before the Lord. The fields are ruined, the ground is dried up. The grain is destroyed, the new wine is dried up. The olive oil fails. Despair, you farmers, wail, you vine growers. Grieve for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field is destroyed. The vine is dried up and the fig tree is withered. The pomegranate, the palm, and the apple tree, all the trees of the field are dried up. Surely the people's joy is withered away. Put on sackcloth, you priests, and mourn. Wail, you who minister before the altar. Come, spend the night in sackcloth, you who minister before my God. For the grain offerings and drink offerings are withheld from the house of your God. Declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly, summon the elders and all who live in the land to the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. Alas for that day. For the day of the Lord is near, it will come like destruction from the Almighty. Has not the food been cut off before our very eyes? Joy and gladness from the house of our God. The seeds are shriveled beneath the clods. The storehouses are in ruins. The granaries have been broken down, for the grain has dried up. How the cattle moan. The herds mill about because they have no pasture. Even the flocks of the sheep are suffering. To you, O Lord, I call, for fire has devoured the pastures in the wilderness, and flames have burned up all the trees of the field. Even the wild animals pant for you. The streams of water have dried up, and the fire has devoured the pastures in the wilderness. Quite a meaty passage, isn't it? For the next few weeks, we'll be looking at the prophet Joel. He was a prophet in the days of Amos and Hosea and Obadiah, somewhere between 500 and 350 BC. And the books of those three, Obadiah, Malachi and Joel, present a picture of a struggling Jewish community, threatened by neighbouring peoples and the incoming pressure of foreign cultures, and also weakened by poverty, discontent and religious apathy. Sound familiar? Whatever the precise date, the occasion of his preaching was at a time when plagues of locusts had just devastated the country. Not such an uncommon event in those days. This had not surprisingly been followed by a great famine, as you'd expect after that, wouldn't you? Joel saw this as a sign of impending disaster, the impending Day of the Lord. And Joel refers to this Day of the Lord, a warning of a harsh judgment coming upon Judah. Why? For all of its sins. The judgment was going to be greater than anything else they'd ever suffered. Its message is very specific. And locusts will be a pale plague compared to the day of the Lord. In that day, God will destroy all his enemies, but will bring unparalleled blessing to those who faithfully obey him. Now, the four different invasions by swarms of locusts, little insects, that are referred to could possibly refer to the four nations who had, during that same period, invaded Judah. It's Babylon, Assyria, Persia, and Egypt. It's interesting that an insect on its own represents no problem or fear whatsoever. A great swarm of them is a very different thing. A foreign soldier on his own would be no threat to Judah, but a large, mighty army certainly would. And here it could be understood that they'd been attacked by four nations. It's interesting, too, that Joel refers to the insects as a nation, too. The locusts destroyed not only the grass and the corn, but also the trees. They eat all the leaves off the trees. The vine is laid waste. They eat the bark off the fig tree, and that kills it. The result is a somewhat similar situation to what happened in Gideon's day. Do you remember when they were invaded by the Midianites? They stole what they could and ruined what was left. In Joel's message, there's this call to drunkards. He tells them specifically to be very upset about this destruction. The wines that gave them so much joy and pleasure will be no more. Awake and weep, says the prophet. Joel calls for the nation as a whole to lament and repent. He says the shedding of tears, crying, that's okay. But the prophet says it's not enough. Crying is simply not enough. What is called for is repentance and humiliation before God. He calls for a day of fasting. There must be a solemn assembly in the house of God. And Joel's message, I think, is so very clear. Don't flee from God, but flee towards God. When you're in trouble, don't flee from God, flee towards God. Now, all of this, Joel's message, is, as you know, religious history. But what does it mean for us today in the UK? What's God saying to you and to me, to us here and now? I believe that we can make very many comparisons. For example, there was a time when God's word was acknowledged in the laws of this country. We were recognised as a Christian country with Christian standards. Sadly, no longer. Those days have long gone. The Ten Commandments were generally accepted and acknowledged in our parliamentary legal system. Over the past 50 years, governments have systematically removed them or watered them down. But whether it's a swarm of locusts, invading armies, or our own sinfulness, it makes no difference. The result is the same. We need to repent and come before God, not just for ourselves, but for the nation. And I think the locusts have slowly eaten away what was accepted as our culture, a recognised standard of behaviour. It seems to me also that what's true in this country is true very much around the whole world now. So what are the locusts that we have today in this country? What do we see? We see war and wealth and self-interest. But I think the list in Galatians sums up as many locusts as any country could possibly have. It says this, the locusts: sexual immorality, adultery, fornication, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Now, I've used this passage many times over the past few years. I know some people say to me, well, that's okay, but I didn't recognise some of these words. What do they actually mean? So I turn to the message to see how it gets put there. It says this: trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive and loveless cheap sex. An accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. Frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness. And how about these two? Trinket gods. Magic show religion. Cutthroat competition. Consume and unsatisfied wants. Brutal temper. Unable to love or be loved. Divided homes, divided lives. Small-minded pursuits, addictions, and so on. I think you will agree that we can all understand that it's quite a load of locusts, isn't it? We have a large army of them. The fact is that we ourselves as individuals cannot, I think, control what goes on nationally or in other people's lives. What we can control is what we do, how we live, how we behave, how we worship God. As praying Christians, we have immediate access into the throne room of God. We can bring him all our concerns, all our worries. We can fast, we can pray, we can cry out to God. We're free here today, we can do that without fear. A lot of countries you couldn't do that. We can here though. When I was thinking about the locusts bringing destruction, God brought this verse from 2 Chronicles 7 to my mind. It's one I'm sure you know very well. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open, my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Do we have a locust problem today? I believe we do. So what are the locusts that we face specifically? We've just heard God's list. Greed, alcoholism, drugs, low moral standards, breakdown of family life. But there's one more I think that is so prevalent today in our society, which is idolatry, or covetousness, whichever word you want to use. The worship of film stars, or footballers, other people's cars, or homes, or gardens, clothes. I think we do have locusts here in this area in Britain. If I had to choose just four, this is what they'd be probably. Alcohol and drugs I put down as one major one. Breakdown of family life, idolatry, and generally low moral standards. If you had to choose just four, what would they be? What do you think are four worst areas there? Well, let me be blunt. In one sense, it doesn't matter. Whatever four you choose, what does matter is our response to what goes on in the areas where we have got control, where we have got choices, where we can make decisions. What is our response to all of this? Remember, Joel says this, the prophet's message is not just to the elders, but to all who live in the land. Wake up, he says, see what's happening, repent, wail, pray, cry out to the Lord. And doing nothing is not the answer. It's so easy for us to sort of shut our front doors and pretend it's not really happening. Doesn't affect me. And I think that's a sure and certain guaranteed recipe for disaster. As Christians, we have responsibility of being Jesus here on earth. We're called to come before the Lord in prayer. And there's a challenge. Will we be those who cry out to the Lord in prayer? Will we stand in the gap for the nation's sins as God's people here on earth? Will we repent of the nation's sins? Will we just gently let them keep rolling along? If my people will turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Acts 3:19 says this, repent then and turn to God so that all your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Something I long for actually, times of refreshing. Don't you? Look around the country today or in the world. We need times of refreshing coming from the Lord. In Joel chapter 1:16, we read that because of sin, joy and gladness have been cut off from the house of God. We want joy and gladness, don't we, in our assemblies when we meet here together? I pray that we do. Psalm 51:7, cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Those are God's words. Let me hear joy and gladness. I have that picture again of the river of life flowing from the throne in Ezekiel 47. Wherever the river flows, everything will live. And I think it's quite different to existing. And I think we need the Spirit of God, the water of life pouring and rushing through us, that we may have a real good life, that we may have joy and gladness as we praise and worship the Lord every Sunday. We have this choice. Lower your standards, or go along with the ways of the world, or follow Jesus and live by his standards. I'm not just talking about going to church on Sundays, but actually how we live our everyday lives. And this, I think, is, if I had a word for you today, this would be it. Give the locusts no room at all. Give them no little footholds, no compromise. Let's stand firm in our strong-footed allegiance to Jesus. So easy to be weak-kneed in these areas that I've discussed already this morning. Stand firm. Repent, wail, pray, cry out to the Lord. So what can we learn from all this? What should our responses be? Well, for the first visual aid up is John. Is it there?
No.
That's it. Pray to the Lord. And again, I find that a constant challenge, this whole question of praying. How seriously do we take it? I rephrase that, do we take it seriously? I think we sometimes do it religiously, which I don't think is the same thing at all. We need to pray to the Lord, to cry, to fast out, not to settle for the easy thing. What is the easy thing? The easy thing is going through the wide gate, as we read in Matthew 7:13, the way that leads to destruction. That's definitely travelling with a locust. What's the second one, John? Don't be afraid to stand your ground. So easy for us to look the other way, to pretend we don't see, pretend we not to disagree with someone. We need to stand our own ground, not be afraid. Next one. Don't turn a blind eye to those things which you know are wrong. So easy, isn't it? Turn a blind eye to things which we know are wrong. Next one. Do not be silent when you know you should speak out. I think so often we're frightened people will be upset with us if we speak out about anything that's wrong. God's given us a tongue. Let's use it to praise him, to pray to him, but also to speak out against the things which are wrong. Next one, John. Stand firm. Be very determined. Do not be seduced by the ways of the world. Do not be afraid to stand up for what is right, what is pure, what is true, what is holy. Stand up for Jesus. Jesus died so that we might have life, life in abundance. And today it's challenged by the locusts. You seem to be under threat or fear or persecution in one way or another. God calls us today to stand up for him. Stop being afraid. Stop being wishy-washy Christians. Be firm in our faith, firm in our understanding, firm in our speaking out, firm in our behaviour. As Christians, each one of us is watched by neighbours at some point or another. If you ever do anything wrong, you can be absolutely sure someone will see it. See those Christians? Hypocrites. That's what you hear. We're challenged here to stand firm, not to give up. We have a great God. And with God, all things are possible. And this is a real wake-up call, I think, from the prophet Joel. And I think it's a timely one, too. God calls us to be his men and women and young people here in this land. Let's stop being frightened, Christians. We have a great God. Why should we be frightened? Let's stand firm in our faith. Not just today here in church, but throughout the weeks. Stand firm. Have our faith in God. And don't be knocked over by wishy-washy ideas. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Joel, for his message. Lord, help us to be those who regularly pray to you, who do cry to you, who do fast. Help us, Lord, to be strong, not to be afraid, to stand our ground. Help us, Lord, to stop looking the other way when we see things that are wrong. Help us, Lord, to use the tongues that you have given us to speak out for you, not to be silent. Help us, Lord, not to be seduced by the ways of the world, but to stand firm for what's right, what's pure, what's holy, what's true. Stand up for Jesus so that we might have life. Amen.